Well, greetings and salutations, one all, to the one and only Career Retrospectives right here on the Super Review Show Network. I am joined by my two incredible friends, Kyle and Mike. What's going on, gents? How are you?
Hey, guys. Doing good.
Hey, what's going on? Doing good.
That's good. Glad to hear it, everyone that's doing well. It's on this fine Monday, March 3rd, when we're recording our podcast. So as the title of our podcast suggests, alludes to whatever, we spun the wheel last week and we landed on Mike's pick of Dream Theater's new album.
No, we didn't spin the wheel. This is just a
release. I'm sorry. We did not spin the wheel. I'm lying, everyone. All right. This is an album that actually came out recently on February, I think it was 7th, they said, of 2025 this year. Yes, right. It was February 7th of 2025. They recorded and released a new album by Dream Theater. It's called Parasomnia. I think it's I didn't butcher that. I didn't butcher that, right, Mike?
No, you got it. Parasomnia, man.
All right, making sure. We're on the right trail here. So there we go. No, but as the title of our podcast alludes to, we're going to be discussing and breaking down the latest release by Dream Theater that just came out back in February. We mean to get to it, but we're spinning the wheel on this. We just, Mike said, hey, this is what I'm coming out. I was like, all right, cool, let's do it. Since this was Mike's pick of his newest release, so what do you got for Dream Theater, Mike, for this new album and as the band overall?
Yeah, so Dream Theater has always been a band that I really enjoyed listening to. I haven't really been an avid listener and kept up with each release. You know, I know that their major albums. I had, you know, some favorites before, you know, that I've kind of really latched onto. Then, you know, kind of just lost focus on listening to every single release. And now that we're kind of just doing releases every, you know, month that come out, and it just seemed to be a good opportunity to be able to take a look at this. So yeah, I'll just get right into my review. Start off with In the Arms of Morpheus. I gave this an 8 out of 10. It's a good recap of all the songs on the album, kind of the melodies and themes bundled up in one. I like when bands do that kind of thing. You know, it kind of carries that kind of cool variation of like happy to aggressive sounding melodies, like sad to light, you know, dark and light. While most of those types of things come at the end of the album, it's kind of cool to see them, you know, like, you know, what's to come, set the tone. So you go on to Night Terror. Night Terror was one of the top songs I loved on this album. One of the best choruses on the album. It's got a little bit of everything you look for in a song. It's got the slow, foreboding opener to the rocking riff, the great chorus. It's got some cool progressive moments. It almost gives me a black metal vibe, actually, that opening riff with that, you know, it just, that is such a black metal kind of take from, like, you know, what's used a lot in that genre. Just love that cool medieval keyboards. It's definitely in my lane on this one. I bet it's real fun to play live. It does drag on, but I mean, that's a Dream Theater specialty. And like that is the type of band they are. They like to go off-roading in the sense of like musically kind of taking changes. So 9 out of 10 for me. Definitely one of the top songs in the album. And then you get to Broken Man. This was a 7.5. I wasn't a fan of the opening. You know, they sound like they're trying to do the YZZY. I can't even remember the name of that song by Rush. XYZ or whatever it was called. It literally has that Rush feel to it, and it just overall it does a lot of stuff early before it gets even to the pre-chorus, the chorus, bridge, or any of the other parts of the song. You know, that's just sometimes they get caught up in that. You know, it really does do some cool off-time beat, sporadic changes, and it even goes into like a jazzy blues part, you know, ripping some crazy solo work. I love the energy, I love the ability, but this one's a little disjointed for me to make it into one of their more top songs of this album, but and lost a little momentum. But 7.5 for me, still solid song. You know, it does get a little off sidetrack. Then you get Dead Asleep, groovy, hard-hitting riffs. This whole album has that kind of vibe going on with it. Good, great chorus, cool atmospheric synth orchestral stuff going on, and then it kind of just jumps all around. It's got some southern metal riff to a straight bluesy guitar solo, so it gets a little bit of everything you want. in this kind of song here, 8 out of 10. And then we get to my favorite track on the album, Midnight Messiah. This is straight out of the book of Metallica. It reminds me of One. You know, it's got the vocal parts about being trapped and, like, you know, it almost reminds me of the song One with that influential nod to that song. This song is just a straight banger across the board. It really was one of the songs that I initially listened to and gave me that Metallica feel, which I hate saying they have their own genre sound now, but it's just like you know, there's a lot of elements to it that remind me of Metallica, let's put it that way. But yeah, this song just, it just never has a boring part to it. It wraps everything up nicely. It never stays too long on you know, any of the parts, and I just love the rhythmic. It also kind of reminds me of Megadeth too, that opener, that riff and the, like, the cadence of his voice. You know, and I don't know if you know, we'll see what Kyle says, but throughout this whole album, the lead singer really stays away from high registers that, like, I think Kyle never really liked from Dream Theater. He definitely, I think, you know, and what, like, Kyle had spoken about, you know, just his vocals being off or, you know, whatever lately. And I think a lot of people have mentioned that the vocalist might be kind of doing the old Bon Jovi. I need to stay away from higher registers and really putting my voice out there if I can't pull it off. And, you know, I don't know what he's doing live. I'm sure he's, you know, doing his best that he can do. But I think in this album, he definitely stayed away from too many high registered kind of, you know, vocals. And Midnight Messiah is just a 10. You know, Are We Dreaming? Just a some kind of a little, you know, interlude, instrumental, you know, thing. So couldn't really rate that. Bend the Clock, great song, great emotional opener to the song. It's just got that soaring chorus. It really gets stuck in your ear. Accompanying piano gives it that triumphant and epic feel. I just love this song, and it's such a just a cool opener to the, like, how it opens with that kind of quiet, you know, just. You know, it's one of the, just a great song. So, Bend the Clock's 9 out of 10. Then we get to the Shadow Man incident. Man, you know, clocking in at 19 and a half minutes. This will challenge many of the listeners who are, you know, not familiar with the progressive song kind of, you know, randomness. So, it's got the slow flowing parts. It dips into a psychedelic feel, shredding. It's got a metal rock opera feel. It's just got a brilliant musicianship, like, layered over everything. You know, the guitars, the piano, interesting drums. It's a solid 8 out of 10. Definitely goes on a long time, but I think it does some really cool things enough that it's not just sounds like it's just doing nothing. So overall, it's just a hard-hitting, guitar-driven album brewed together with a lot of dark atmosphere and, like, a story to boot. You know, Dream Theater has always paved the way for the continuation of progressive the music genre. You know, sitting up there with some of the great, like, Symphony X, Angra, Porcupine Tree, Tool, even Beardfish kind of sit in this genre. The guitar of John Petrucci blazes along at a precise pace. You know, and even kind of, it's good to see the return of Mike Portnoy on drums and how he kind of came back into the fold. While this album does at times lose momentum of the songs in order to, like, stop and go off road with its progressive dabbling, you can't help but, like, get mesmerized by a little bit of the whole picture that comes together. As a music lover who lives very well in this progressive music genre, I do get worn out by some of the songs that casually leave its familiar sounding parts to weave in some intricate musical measures. But overall, it brings a lot of melodic mixture in that sticks with the average listener. You know, I believe the average listener might not be familiar, might get lost in translation with that. But I think, like, overall, those who are somewhere sitting in the middle will enjoy the amount of heavy, dark, light, melodic, progressive, enough that it doesn't overdo one to bury the other. So I'm sitting at an 8.5 for this album. Solid album. good to return back to, lots of stuff to chew on. It's got a lot of different parts that you know, kind of conjure up a cool feeling to it.
All right, you heard it here first from Mike himself. That is going to be his rating with an 8.5 out of 10. I'm going to go next. If that's okay with you, Kyle. I just want to make sure that that's good with you. So,
go for it.
All right, cool. So let me. So Dream Theater. It's funny there when we said we're doing a new Dream Theater release. This is one of the, again, another situation where I had heard the name of the band, but I knew nothing about them. I assumed they were a metal band, but I was right. But I was cautious with this release, Mike, and I at the same time I was very taken back by it. At the same time, I'll get to you with what I mean by that in a second. But just going track by track here, In the Arms of Morpheus, it took me a minute here to realize that this was an instrumental. Like, at first, I was like, "Yeah, it's 5 minutes." I'm expecting some words, some dialogue, some lyrics. I didn't get any of that, but I did enjoy what I heard though, nonetheless. Not to the extent where I thought I might. At first, I was like, by the promotional artwork and the aesthetic of the album, I was like, "All right, I'm in for metal, deathcore, something really, really hard that I'm probably gonna trash later." But no, actually, this is not something, not what I was expecting in a good way, which I liked overall. And the Arms of Morpheus, and a really good instrumental that I liked overall. I was not quite as high as Mike, but I'm saying about like a 6.5. I could go up to a 7, actually, truthfully, because I'm all for instrumentals. I'm all for when music can just be music without lyrics or melody. I do like that. I love when people combine like half a song is lyrics, half a song is music, or just pure music, like Layla by Derek and the Dominos, one of my favorite songs of all time. So hearing this instrumental was actually a really nice instrument that I like. I'm going to give it a 7 out of 10. 7 out of 10 for In the Arms of Morpheus. We go into Night Terror. It's funny. I looked at the runtime for some of these. I'm like, oh my God, this is getting really longer and longer as time goes on. As someone who's not as familiar, I don't hate long songs. I actually enjoy, music has, it could take any form. It could be 30 seconds. It could be 2 hours. It doesn't matter what it is. Music is music. As long as you shape it to what you want it to be, that's what it's all about. So we go to Night Terror at 9 minutes and 55 seconds. It didn't, I liked where it flowed. I liked the progressive movements. As someone who's not a prog rock guy to begin with, I actually liked a lot of this more than I thought I was going to. Because maybe it was the production of it, I'm not sure. But just something about it was just so much more appealing to me than I initially thought. Because when I read the review, it said prog rock. I was like, something's not right here. No, but these tracks actually worked well for me, better than I thought. So Night Terror, let's say about a 7 out of 10 for this one too. I liked it. I liked the change of pace as well. I liked the different styles and sounds you heard throughout this. I don't want to repeat myself too much here, but overall, I liked what I heard nonetheless from each one of these tracks as I go on from time to time, track by track. A Broken Man, 8 minutes and 30 seconds. You know, it was a little bit shorter than Night Terror, but I still liked it nonetheless. It wasn't quite a 7 for me. This is actually a 6 out of 10. It's good, but it didn't hold up as much as Night Terror did. That's what I'm saying, a 6 out of 10 for that one. Dead Asleep, you know, it's funny. When I first saw 11 minutes and 6 seconds in my car, and I'm like, oh boy, we're in for a treat. but actually, truthfully, I was in for a treat. I did like a lot of what I heard here. The different styles, different sounds, different incorporations of how time changes. And it was truly something special. This one's a 7.5 out of 10. This is a very, very good track on the record, and I liked it quite a bit, actually. Midnight Messiah, I could not agree with you more with there, Mike. This is definitely a lyrically won by Metallica. My favorite Metallica song, by the way. Just saying. But musically, it is very diverse. It's very unique. It's its own thing, and I like that a lot more than I thought I would. Again, it's clocking in at 7. It's funny. I think the runtime for one is actually like 8 minutes. So this is like the same runtime as one by Metallica, which is kind of funny. Just a little side note there. Are We Dreaming? The little interlude. It's hard to rate the interlude because it is just
an interlude. Wait, what did you give Midnight Messiah? I don't know if you ever answered.
Oh, that. I'm sorry about that. I'm jumping so fast. I'm jumping the gun so fast here. This is an 8 out of 10. I liked it. Overall, like lyrically, it held up a lot more than I thought it was going to. Because when you see the title Midnight Messiah, you're like, all right, this is gonna go nowhere. But no, lyrically, it was actually very. I liked it a lot. And musically, it was very diverse too. So yeah, that was an 8. Are We Dreaming, the interlude, for that was just a minute and 28 seconds long. It's hard to rate interludes on albums like this because they just bridge one song to another and they don't really do much. I can't necessarily rate it, but I liked it, though. I can't really give a number, though, but overall, I liked Are We Dreaming, the interlude, to leading into Bend the Clock. Bend the Clock is a 7.5 out of 10 on this one. It's, again, not bad, not super great, but kind of in the middle, like a good plus kind of feel for me. I did like the diversified sounds in this too. Not as much the first half of the record, but I did like it nonetheless. Then we get to the Shadow Man incident at 19 minutes and 32 seconds. If you want to talk about closing out an album, this is a very great way of doing it, but it is very long. As someone who, as I've said this before, I'll say it again. As someone who enjoys long songs, as someone who enjoys listening to pieces of music that are long, have different parts to it. You know, the first thing I thought of when I saw this runtime was Tool's Fear Inoculum. I know we don't like Tool in this podcast. I get it. Mm-hmm. I, for whatever reason, I liked that album. I know I said I like a Tool album. Deal with it. I know. Sorry, everyone. When I first saw this runtime for this one song, I was like, oh my God, it's 19 minutes long. It feels like it's a Tool album for whatever reason, just this one song. But no, but it was not Tool. I liked it overall, though. The Shadow Man incident was a really solid closer with different elements. It's kind of like it's everything you'd want it to close out an album like this, but a little, just a smidge too long. If it was 14 minutes, I'd be like, all right, this is good. If it was 14 minutes and 50 seconds, that's fine. But at 19 minutes, at the average, I agree with you, Mike. The average listener might not be able to enjoy something like this to any extent, truthfully. So it's difficult to do something like this. You want to listen to the Dream Theater song? Cool, it's 19 minutes long. They're gonna be like, what? They're probably used to like the four, maybe a 5 minute song too, but. 19 minutes, it's a hard one to sell, but I'm used to it, so I liked it. This one is sitting at about a 6.5, could go up to a 7 on any given day. So overall, I mean, for Dream Theater, listening to an album, again, never heard of them until I knew the name, but I didn't know and any of their music, any of their styles of music. And overall, I liked what I heard. I mean, it was would I go back to it in like a year's time span? Maybe. I might give it a shot. Like if I'm at the gym and working out, whatever, things like that. But no, this one was a very good release. It was their latest release too in 2025 on February 7th. So I'm sitting about, I'm not quite as high as Mike, but I'm going to go with a 6.5. On a generous day, I'm going to go up to a 7, but today I'm going to go with 6.5 today. So on this album. Parasomnia. But overall, I liked what I heard, though. I mean, did I hate it? No. Did I love it? No. I'm very much in the middle with it, like on a good plus day. So, but I know that, but a 6.5 for me for this record. It's not bad, but it's not great. It's very much in the middle for me, but it's good plus. I'll say that. Now we go over to the K-Man, aka Kyle. What do you
got? The villain for last.
Hey, no.
What are you talking about?
I love prog rock. No, I mean, you know, going into this, Dream Theater is one of those artists and bands that I have an interesting background with, in that I respect the hell out of them as musicians. They're some of the absolute best around. I mean, John Petrucci kills it on guitar here. Absolutely knocks out of the park. Mike Portnoy destroys as always. I mean, him coming back to the band is really what made me more interested in this record. After he left, I really didn't check out anything that they did at all. He was like, you know, one of the main driving forces of the band, in my opinion. So seeing him come back is great. Going down the track list, though, for this, starting with In the Arms of Morpheus, actually, this is like a 6 for me. As someone who's not usually into like longer instrumentals, it's solid. You know, I think it does slightly drag in that beginning, like minute and a half to 2 minutes, really getting into it. But once it gets going, it's a fine instrumental to, you know, kick off the record. I think it does its job well as an opener. Nothing too crazy. But then you go to Night Terror. And, you know, this is when the album started to pleasantly surprise me quite a bit. You know, it's, for me, I do think it does hit a bit on the long side at, you know, some parts. I think the song does kind of drag a bit. But I mean, the intro riff on this song is absolutely killer. It's great. I do think the vocals are the weakest part of the song. And what's interesting is I actually found myself throughout this record wishing he showed off his range more, which I know for me is a bit weird from not, you know, being someone who historically does not like those higher register, almost power metal style vocals. But at some points I was like, okay, could we change up this vocal styling? I felt like, with one exception that I'll get to, the vocal styling of this album stayed pretty much the same throughout. Now, I don't know what their previous albums from the past few years have sounded like in terms of vocals, but the Dream Theater that I was more familiar with from years ago had those higher register vocals. That was really what I was expecting. But, you know, it's not bad. I mean, the instrumentation on this is killer songwriting wise. It's solid. It's a 7 out of 10. Then, you know, go to Broken Man. I didn't like the vocals on this one at all. But I mean, everything else going on really saved this. The bridge of the song, absolutely fantastic. I really like the jazzy section in there with the drum beats and, you know, the organ thrown in there on the keys. Really cool rhythm section going on behind that too, which leads into a guitar solo that just really blows through so many different styles. I mean, it starts off with an almost like neoclassical style, which then transitions into this jazzy guitar solo, which then goes into a blues style solo and then ends with the typical like metal shredding. Very well done. That was definitely the highlight of the song there. The rest of the song's all right, but that was for sure. I go back to that section quite often. Dead Asleep, take a bit of a step down here. It's a 6. The riffs are cool here. I feel like this one is kind of where the album starts to suffer from songs dragging a little bit in particular. But there's, you know, parts in here that are better than others. And I think we're all on the same page about Midnight Messiah. This is definitely the best track of the album. For me, it's an 8. I'm not as, you know, high up on it as Mike is. But for being a Dream Theater song that I actually really enjoy, I was kind of blown away. I thought this is, for me, the only song I thought really had a memorable vocal, like catchy vocal hook for me. But, you know, favorite song on the album, super well done. And the album really dips for me past this point, unfortunately, with Are We Dreaming. It was kind of a pointless interlude for me. It didn't really add anything to my experience of the album. I'm not going to hold it against it. It's only like a minute long. And then Bend the Clock. You know, this had a lot of promise to me in the beginning with, you know, starting with that acoustic section. You know, I was honestly hoping it's kind of stayed that route for the most part. I thought it sounded great. The melodies on there, but even the vocal melodies on that, it's like the one section where I was like, oh, the vocal styling's changed up a bit here. The melodies were great. And then it just seemingly almost out of nowhere took on this very 70s rock sound. And it kind of maintained that for almost the entire runtime of the rest of the song, which then ended up with the most like out of place sounding guitar solo thrown in there that almost just felt like, all right, well, we're Dream Theater. We got to throw a guitar solo in here. And I just didn't think it fit. I kind of thought it was a little too much trying to go on, but at the same time, having the least interesting instrumentation throughout. I think that's a product of that, you know, kind of take on that 70s rock sound that they were kind of going for with that. This one, unfortunately, is a 4 for me. It's probably the only song on the record that I actively skip, which brings me to the ending with the Shadow Man incident. This song has promise. It, you know, it really does. I like long songs. I have nothing against the runtime of it, really. Unfortunately, I do feel like at times it does feel its length a little bit. There are parts of it that definitely could have probably been cut out. Overall, it doesn't really do much to keep me really enthralled in what's going on throughout the nearly 20 minutes of runtime it has. But it's a totally fine background song. Like, there's nothing wrong with it. If it was on, I'm not going to turn it off. I don't really get sick of it. But it's, you know, not something I would actively seek out and listen to all 20 minutes of it. So that one sits at a 5 for me. You know, overall, I think where the album falls flat for me, which shockingly and unshockingly is vocally and lyrically. Vocally, for the reason not what I expected. I expected to dislike the higher register vocals. Instead, I was more disappointed that we didn't get any of that throughout pretty much the entire thing. But I mean, like I said, Mike Portnoy kills it on the drums. I mean, that's, I have no complaints about the drumming throughout this entire thing. Guitar, same thing. Instrumentation as a whole on this absolutely kills it. I think my biggest complaint about this whole album, though, and it's something that neither of you guys have mentioned, this album art is 100% AI generated, right? Like, no chat. It looks just so AI. I don't know if that was on purpose. Maybe it's not, but it just looks, even up, even down to the band logo, like the font for the logo on top, even that, I know it's like their logo, that's how the font is, but even something about that just screams AI about this whole thing. And I'm not into that. I'm not into replacing artists and art with AI. So I hope I'm wrong about that, but every single thing about it, the shading, the girl on the front, everything about it screams AI generated. But you know what? I'm not holding that against it for quality music. Overall, it sits at a 6 for me, which is better than I anticipated this album faring. I enjoy it. I'd probably go back to about half of this. Some songs I could see myself, you know, further along in the year with some more time to sit with it, going up higher on this, on the rating scale, like Midnight Messiah, I could see totally going up. I think even like A Broken Man could go up on there a little bit. So will it be in my top albums of the year? Probably not. Am I pleasantly surprised by it? I sure am.
You heard it here first, guys. That is Kyle's rating right there of a 6 out of 10. Yeah. Overall, like, this is just, I'm really glad this album came out, Mike, and I'm not going to lie. It's definitely opened up my ears a little bit more to more. I'm not against hard rock or more metal. I'm just thinking, you know, at least it opened up my eyes. You know what I mean? It just really definitely did something for me, at least. So, but yeah, that's gonna do it for us, guys. We have our next album for next week. It's the Narnia album. I forget the name of it. The Course of something.
The Lion. Course of the Jenner.
Thank you. I couldn't think of what it was
course
called.
Course of a Generation.
The Course of a Generation by Narnia. The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe of the movie.
No, I'm just, hey, this is easy. We're gonna get sued. You're like, hey, nothing to do with Narnia. Whoa!
No, I'm just kidding. No, I'm just kidding. No, but that is our next album. Is the Course of? I'm sorry. Say it again, Mike.
The Course of a Generation.
The Course of a Generation by Narnia. That is our next album because we spun the wheel last time. This album, we had to touch on this album because it came out back in February. I want to thank the two gentlemen for doing this podcast with always, Kyle and Mike. Thank you much for your knowledge and expertise as always. Kyle, Q&A podcast is not back yet, correct?
Nope.
Nope. All right. No worries. It'll be back sooner than later because he's too busy with work and his little baby boy. So
be back one day.
One day it will. No worries. But we want to thank you for watching us and having enjoyed us tonight. Thanks so much for tuning to our podcast of Career Retrospectives every week right here on the Superview Shows Network. But for all of your Career Retrospective episodes, keep it locked on the Superview Show. We will see you guys next week. So for all of us here, stay safe, take care, and be awesome.